On the day that Jesus rose from the dead, he visited his apostles in that same evening. And 8 days later, he visited Thomas. And in the 20th chapter of John, we have the account of what was said, starting at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in their midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were with Thomas, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand that thrusteth into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed.
Good morning, everybody. It's really wonderful to be here today in the marquee, as we've been reminded several times, to be able to sing, see one another's faces without going through masks. It's just wonderful. I so enjoy those songs and being able to release our worship and our praise and our love to the Lord Jesus, who alone is worthy to receive them. Praise God. Thank you, Chris, for reading those verses for me. If you are following the church calendar, as it were, you will know that we're in the period between Easter and Whitsun, the time when we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus at Easter, and the time when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Whitsun. And for the first 40 days of that time period in the New Testament, Jesus revealed himself in one form or another to varying groups of people, whether individually or on one occasion more than 500, we're told, at one particular time. He revealed himself for those 40 days to these various people. And this story that we heard read to us this morning, not just a wonderful story, but it is an amazing encounter that we read about between Thomas, the other disciples, and the risen Christ. It's a wonderful thing that we can look back and see these events in the context of Christian history. Incredible that Jesus ever was born into our world, of course. Amazing that he took a perfect life to the cross, where he paid the sacrifice for our sin, where we could be delivered and set free from the power of sin, and where he sent the Holy Spirit who indwells our lives as we believe in him. It's an amazing and wonderful thing that we celebrate when we come together in a way like this, isn't it? On the two occasions that Chris read to us, one was a time when Jesus appeared just to his 12 disciples, and the other time was when he came with Thomas, because Thomas had missed out. He was doing something else on the first appearance. How difficult that must have been for him when they said to him, "We've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus." And he said, how could you possibly have seen Jesus? Impossible. But they said, "We've seen him. We've talked to him. He's been with us. He came." Well, how did he come? He just appeared. All the doors were shut. We're told that when he came the second time, all the windows were shut. But he just appeared among them. He had a miraculous new body that had come from the other side of death, that had been raised from the dead. And he was given this new body in which he moved among them, which was very much like theirs, and yet so different from theirs. How about that? Just appearing to them. And on two occasions, on both occasions, we read this particular statement, or this couple of words. Jesus came. Jesus came. When he came the first time to the disciples, they just said, "Jesus came." When he said came the second time to see Thomas, perhaps particularly expressively to see Thomas, we read that Jesus came. I don't know whether you thought that Jesus could come like that to you and like that to me. He can just break into our lives, you know. He can come at any time, in any place, where we're up to, where we're not up to, when we're expecting, when we're least expecting, he can come. Jesus can come. He came, you remember, for many of the stories in this very gospel that we're reading, in John's gospel, he came to people. Let me just remind you of some of those instances. He came to the woman at the well, where she was sitting in isolation there. He came to her. He came to the pool of Siloam, where there was a man that had been there for so many years. Jesus came and healed him. He was at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus came. We read it in John 11. Check it out. Verse 16, I think it is. Jesus came. Jesus can come at any moment and at any time. He can come into your situation. He can come into mine. Whatever it is that you handle, you're dealing with, whatever it is that disturbs you and confuses you, he can come. Jesus can come and change everything in a moment of time. We praise him and we worship him, don't we? The other thing it says in those stories that comes both occasions, that when he came, it says he said, "Peace be unto you, peace be unto you." When Jesus comes, he brings peace into our lives. Hallelujah. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that we can't explain or rationalize. But his presence brings peace. And if you're worried this morning, if you've got a heart that's exercised or concerned or worried where you are in relationship to God, or in terms of the things that you have to handle in your life, hear the word of Jesus. Peace be to you. When he comes, he brings wonderful peace. Bless the name of the Lord. When he appeared to them, you know, the thing that they really wanted to see, and the things that he really wanted them to show them, was that he had wounds. He had wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. And it says in the first appearance that Jesus showed them. He wanted to show them. He wanted to show them the evidences of his death and of his resurrection. He wanted them to identify with all that he had done for them on their behalf. As they looked at his hands, and his feet and his side. They saw the price that Jesus had paid, that they could have peace. It's wonderful to have peace in our lives, in the various circumstances and things that we go through. But the most important thing is that we have peace with God. And we have peace with God by the great work of justification by faith that he wants to bring each of us into, an assurance that we stand right in the sight of God, not based on what we are or what we can do, but purely upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place at Calvary and took our sins into his body on the cross, that we might be delivered from its power and stand in right relationship with God, not for anything that we have done, but all because he has loved us and saved us by his precious blood. Hallelujah. That is what brings real peace into our lives. What come what may with the circumstances that we may go through or that we may pass, it is the fact that he puts us right in relationship with God. That is the most wonderful thing. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he brought peace into their lives. We used to sing, you know, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Hallelujah. Has he come to you this morning? You may be a person who's carrying scars and wounds. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe circumstances have broken your spirit, or relationships been difficult. All kinds of reasons why our brokenness is apparent. Mostly, of course, because of the consequences of sin, both generically but also personally. Amazingly, you know, Jesus was wounded. God was wounded. I came across a couple of quotes that I just wanted to read to you. There's no clock in here. And my watch is at the repairer's. So that's a desperate not to go over. I came across the writing, a quote from a man called Nicholas Wolpersdorf, professor of philosophical theology at Yale Divinity School. Pretty posh. Pretty powerful. But he said this. He says he had to seriously reconsider his theology after the death of his own son. Shattered by grief, Walter Stoff concluded that God could not possibly be unmoved by human tragedy. I found that picture of God as blissfully unperturbed by this world's anguish impossible to accept, existentially impossible. I could not live with it. I found it grotesque. What a statement of the wound that's in the heart of God because of his lost creation. Here's another little poem that I wanted to read, by a man called Edward Shillitoe. He says, the other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stagger to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. Isn't that wonderful? You ever thought of God being wounded? And expressed through the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded. We read in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. You remember that Roger two or three weeks ago, spoke on the various words related to sin. Transgressions could be related to rebel, revolt, to step across a line. And bruising for our iniquities refers to the inner nature and power of sin that all of us have inherited because of the fall. And yet he was wounded for those very transgressions. Literally, the word is pierced. He was pierced. That actually was in my daily reading this morning, where back in this very chapter, John's Gospel, previous one, you remember that when Jesus died, the centurion came and was amazed to see that he'd already died, whereas the other criminals either side of him were still alive. And that's because he didn't die by human means. He died because he voluntarily gave up his life to the Father and through the Father to us by his grace. Hallelujah. Bruised for our iniquities, that inner nature and power of sin. He was wounded for that. We used to sing, wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. And now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. We've also sung, I plunge in the wounds my sin has made. I'm crucified, Lord, with thee. By faith I'm raised as from the dead to life and liberty. Praise God. We sang a modern hymn, What Grace Is Mine. It's one of my favorite hymns. It's only two verses. The one line says this, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead with me. For me, sorry. Hallelujah. Have you been healed by the wounds of Jesus? You can plunge in, even this morning. You could open your heart wide. You could be identified with the wounds of the Lord Jesus in the same way that Thomas was and his fellow disciples were. Can I give you two more quotes? These are from Charles Wesley. You'll find one of them in the Blue Book and the other one you'll have to research to find. The Blue Book says this, Lord, I believe for me, even me, thy wounds were opened wide. I see the prints, I more than see thy feet, thy hands, thy side. That's 100 in the Blue Book. Here's the other one. From the poetic, I'll tell you, from the poetical works of Charles Wesley, volume 2, pages 166 and 167. Amazing. What a legacy we've received through some of these great men of God. O thou whom faith my soul would love, whom I would gladly die to know, the veil of unbelief remove and show me all thy goodness show. Jesu, thyself in me reveal. Tell me thy name, thy nature tell. I know him by those prints of love. His bleeding wounds are open wide. Through faith I handle him and prove, I thrust my hand into his side. I feel the sprinkling of his blood. Jesu, thou art my Lord, my God. And we sang a line this morning, I don't know whether you got it. I feel the life thy wounds impart. I feel my Saviour in my heart. Hallelujah. May I encourage you to identify afresh this morning with the wounds of Jesus? How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin in his body on the tree. That's how you know you're loved this morning. You're loved by the great and eternal God who sent his Son to die a death on the cross that you and I could be freed forever. Live with him eternally and know healing down here on the earth in our broken hearts. And we worship him. We worship him. Perhaps we could just pray. Amazingly, Lord, we do feel something of the life your wounds impart. We worship you and praise you and honor and love you. Pour ourselves into your life and allow you to pour your life into ours. Thank you for everything, Lord Jesus. Enable us to walk and to live consistently in the light of the great sacrifice that you have made and the great infilling of the Holy Spirit that you are able to give and to pour into each of our lives. We worship you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.